This is the Warriors Ground Podcast, opening round playoffs edition, bringing the team to Houston, Texas for games 3 and 4 against the Rockets. I'm Lawrence Scott, and ahead, ESPN's Michael Wilbon, the co-host of Pardon the Interruption, with some historical perspective on the Warriors' 73-9 regular season, plus a discussion about both Stephen Curry and Draymond Green, in addition to the key storylines of this 2016 NBA playoffs. We'll have the roundup with R.C. Davis, Playoffs Edition Volume 1, plus the sounds of the season, our regular season review from the ring ceremony to win number 73 as we start things off with PTI's own Michael Wilbon. With a historic regular season and the NBA playoffs here at Oracle Arena, we've seen Michael Wilbon on the scene here. When you think about 73-9 and what we just saw in the regular season, where does it rank in all of sports history, perhaps?
Well, you got precious few teams who play their way into historic greatness. And I was lucky enough to be around 20 years ago a lot of that Chicago Bulls team that won 72 games. I think about, while I was not covering them, I still think about the Mariners team that won 116 regular season games, which is just stunning in 162 game season. You know, teams that like the Patriots that went, you know, 18-0, they couldn't finish it off, but it is still a historically great team. So these things come along, you know, in each sport sort of once a generation. And with basketball, you know, the 69 Lakers team that won 33 in a row and won the championship. So it goes from 1969 to 1996. So you got a 27-year gap there, and from 96 to now, you got a 20-year gap there. And it doesn't happen every day, and people should appreciate it. If anything, it's probably underestimated, underappreciated what the Warriors have done this year, missing their coach so many games. Would the Patriots have won 16 straight games with Bill Belichick missing 8 of them? There's little to no chance of that. So I'm sort of in awe of it. Glad I've been here to see it.
This team fueled by the brilliance of Stephen Curry, what impresses you about him as a player, and what impresses you about him as a person?
Well, just the skill level, and this is developed. Okay, yes, he's a second generation professional basketball player. There's certain things that he was going to do better, more prolifically, because he grew up in this. His father was also terrific at this thing. So he's still, okay, there's a little head start. But the things that he does, I mean, there's a mastery, there's a wizardry almost, if you will. Those things have to be learned. They do. And I don't think people, I think one of the things that connects people, general basketball fans, general sports fans with Steph Curry, that doesn't happen in a way with bigger, stronger, faster, more physically impressive basketball players, is that Steph sort of looks closer to them at 6'3" and under 200 pounds. So these are things he worked on. These are things he just practiced himself, you know, into being able to do with long, hard hours. And yes, there's talent. But I see my son, who's 8 years old, and his ball handling is so much better at 8 years old because of Steph Curry. Because kids are willing to look at this without browbeating from their parents, and they can identify with this. They look at it, they don't know exactly how tall LeBron is, but they know LeBron is, there's nobody in their class who looks like LeBron in second and third and eighth and tenth in high school. There's somebody who looks like Steph Curry, and they're encouraged that they can do this. And that's a wonderful thing. And Steph as a guy, as a person, and I got to know him a little bit at Davidson because I know his dad. Steph as a person, he understands that there's a responsibility, and you get besieged, and you get asked to do everything, and the demands on him are unreasonable, yet he somehow navigates a far more generous portion of those demands than most people are going to do, celebrity or not. And so he's important for the league. It's important for him to be seen, to react, to understand that he's got a responsibility, and good for the league that he does all those things.
The Warriors are also fueled by the fire that burns within Draymond Green. Why is it important for teams that want to be championship teams to have a guy like that on the team?
You have to have a guy like that, at least one. I mean, you know, as I think back to the other historic team, the Bulls team, and clearly on this team there's a fire and ice, and the coupling, you know, of Draymond Green and Steph Curry works in that way. And other people have various temperaments and personalities, and Steve Kerr talks about this all the time, and he can appreciate it. You had Michael Jordan, who was interesting. He was fire and ice. I mean, Jordan played with a controlled rage, but he controlled it. He didn't let it out there on display all the time. You had to be around him to know it. But then you had Dennis Rodman, you know, and you had Scottie Pippen, who were just dramatically different characters. And then you had people who fit around them, like Tony Kukoc and Luke Longley, and guys who had varying degrees on that wheel, and that 360-degree wheel of personalities. You have to have that. And sometimes you can't find that. I mean, general managers spend years trying to find not just the skill sets of the people they need, big men, wing players, defenders, ball handlers, playmakers, you know, role players, but they also have to find the personalities, and it's much harder to do because it's harder to identify. But the fire and ice situation is necessary. If you don't have a guy with that kind of fire, we can look at the league and look at a lot of teams. My criticism of the Chicago Bulls, this current Bulls team, is they got too many guys who simmer. They don't have anybody who boils over. The coach did that, the previous coach, Tom Thibodeau. Well, now who does it once he's gone? What player has that? Draymond Green, it's necessary for the Warriors to have him. And so it works. It just works.
What other storylines are you looking at during this 2016 NBA playoffs?
Paul George. Paul George is the most interesting single figure out there, given the unbelievable injury which disrupted his career. And then getting off to a good start in that series with the Pacers, and his comeback is extraordinary. The Cleveland Cavaliers, was it just a funk they had at the end of the regular season, or is there something more than that? And can LeBron James, who I applauded for going to the, I'm going to use a horse racing analogy, the whip hand, to, you know, really go after his own players. And a lot of guys didn't like that, and a lot of former players didn't like it. I heard from them, and a guy defended LeBron publicly, and I had guys call me and say, hey, no, you can't do that publicly in late March or early April. He should have been doing this early on. Well, we'll see if LeBron got it right. If did he wait too long? I mean, was he out of place to do that? Did he offend his teammates? All these things come out in the wash in playoffs, and so that storyline is irresistible. And those are just two of them. You know, the San Antonio Spurs, you know, real challenger to the Warriors. Are they too old? Do they have enough? What happens when three giants of the game become role players, and Greg Popovich himself called them role players right before the last time the Warriors and Spurs played? So there's a real neat number of interesting storylines out there.
Last thing I want to ask you about is the role that you're playing now as a teacher at your alma mater, Northwestern, and the opportunity to mold the next generation of sports journalists. Why is it something that's important to you?
Because I had mentors. I had people who helped do that with me. And it's unthinkable that I could have reached anywhere near this point without them. And those kids, I'm going to still call them kids, they need that. And there's a whole generation of us. Luckily, we have so many people from Medill School of Journalism, from Northwestern, who are professionals, who are in major publications on television and radio and in newsrooms and producing and in all sorts of other things too. But in the sports universe, we have that. And we owe it. I mean, we owe it as much as we talk about athletes and mentors and role models. It doesn't change from profession to profession. So I'm excited about it. It's sort of scary that I might be helping mold anybody, but, you know, there are a lot of us. I think we're enthusiastic about it. We're passionate about it, and we have quite a little fraternity at our alma mater we're really proud of. So hopefully that, you know, this can help continue that.
Very cool. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So, RC, you're in the air on the way to Houston for games 3 and 4 with the team. You're putting together the roundup. What exactly are we going to hear this week?
We'll hear how the Warriors ended the season. Bites from Coach Kerr, bites from Tom Tolbert, bites from NBA analysts, from ESPN Countdown, all sorts of things.
Here we are back at it with the latest edition of the Roundup, which quite simply is an NBA version of Talk Soup, all the best sound and clips from around the association. We're going to keep this Roundup Warriors-centric. I mean, after all, this is the Warriors Ground Podcast, and at the time of this taping, the champs are 14 wins away from defending their crown. What better place to start than NBA TV's The Starters, who gave credit where credit was due.
But you got to remember, he signed for that cheap little contract a few years ago because no one knew what he was going to be. It all starts with Steph. Obviously, everything around it has come and turned beautifully. But without Steph Curry reworking his body, like he's going to bar three each and every day.
He's got a great pull. Yeah.
It's incredible what he's become from what we expected only a few years ago.
Yeah, I think it's not just Steph. I think it's the health of the entire team at the Golden State Warriors. They've got a fantastic training and medical staff. Yeah. They obviously really plan and prepare everything that goes into everybody's body, including their diet. And if you look over the course of the last 2 years, especially this season, the big three of Steph, Klay Thompson and Draymond Green have missed a combined 6 games.
Yeah, that's huge.
This year. A couple of the other guys, Iguodala's missed a few more, and Harrison Barnes and Bogut missed a little stretch. But it was really only...
But you're three potential All-NBA guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6 games total, that's nothing.
Yeah, and last year they only missed 10. So that's what, to me, is really... that their best players are on the floor most of the time. So that helps you to go after a big wins record like they have done. And the other guys, as I mentioned, Barnes and Iguodala and Bogut, basically they missed one chunk of time, recovered, and then got back out on the floor. So I think their medical staff really does set the standard in the league.
I think the biggest reason that they've sort of just killed the league this year is because when they won 67 games last year and they won a title, people still doubted them.
Yeah.
People said, oh, they got lucky. They got lucky. They didn't have to play the Spurs and the Clippers. Oh, they got lucky when they made it to the finals and there was no Kyrie and no LeBron. They could continue to make these reasons why they, for some reason, weren't that great a team. And I think there's no doubt that the Warriors heard that and used that as motivation to come into this season and just try and send a message. And they did, winning their first 24 games and now trying to take a crack at 73.
Yes, you have to use the words toughness and resiliency when it comes to this team, because they're the first team that hasn't lost consecutive games in NBA history. And people don't associate toughness or resiliency with a three-point shooting team. It just doesn't happen. Right. But you look at it, no one has ever done that, so why aren't they tough? It doesn't make any sense that they're a three-point shooting team.
Mm-hmm. Aside from the potential 73-9 record, I want to know, and everyone out there watching, jump on Twitter, what Warrior stat is most impressive? 73-9 is amazing, but what other stat is impressive to you from this season?
Well, I think Tass just alluded to it. The fact that they've gone 82 games without losing back-to-back shows incredible commitment and dedication and health and focus from the entire team, coaching staff as well. Remember, they missed Steve Kerr for half the season, and they didn't lose any of their momentum or their rhythm. And Pat Riley talks about it as well. Sometimes after you win a championship, things get a bit looser the second season. Guys want a few more shots. They don't work as hard because they get a little fat, as he says. Not physically, but just in the...
Sometimes.
Sometimes physically as well, but more so in their approach.
Sure.
So the fact that they went out there, had that incredible win streak at the start of the season, 24 games, and then when they lost one, they didn't even then take their foot off the gas and say, look, we're on a pretty good run here. Let's just relax and get healthy. They just, every single night, turned up to play. I think that's incredible.
I think when we look back, it's going to be astonishing that they did this after winning a championship. Because you look back at MJ's winning 72 games. He had the 2-year hiatus where they didn't win a championship, and he said, all right, I'm doing this each and every night. Now we look back, after a championship year, they're definitely motivated by the fact that they were quote-unquote lucky by a lot of people, but just the fact that they keep their hard hats on each and every day, and like they're going to do tonight, even though a Memphis Grizzlies team that's been torn up, they're a different team. This is a different breed. Regardless of those other 29 teams and what they do night in and out, night out, the Warriors are just tough every single night.
It's a great stat. I can't believe, though, that you, the shooter here of the starters, don't go with a three-point stat. And the one that jumps out to me is Steph and Klay combining.
Yeah.
Combining to have hit more three-pointers than 13 other teams in this league this season.
Yeah.
The 13, are in the playoffs. So some of them are really good teams, like the Heat and the Grizzlies and the Spurs and the Pacers. The Splash Brothers have hit a combined 664 three-pointers.
It is incredible. And
unbelievable.
If Steph reaches 400 tonight, that will just be absolutely phenomenal, because 300 hadn't been hit prior to this season, and we thought that 300 would be a pretty big goal for him to get. Now the fact that he's on pace for 400, or maybe just four just short, but he's going to come so close. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable stuff.
The Warriors played the Grizzlies twice in the final week, and Memphis forward and former teammate of Del Curry, Vincent Lamar Carter, recalled playing one-on-one with a young Steph when they were in Toronto.
I just remember coming out, getting my workout in right before the game, and once I finished my workout, I'm telling Steph to come on. We usually play one-on-one before each game. Now, all of a sudden, the NBA, and to play against him, see him win the MVP, see him win a championship, I'm just like, man, this is the same kid that I used to play one-on-one against, and he had it all then. His mindset is like, hey, this time I'm going to beat you.
Switching gears for a sec, former longtime Warriors athletic trainer Tom Abdenauer has decided to retire. After nearly a quarter century with Golden State and the past 5 years with San Diego State, Abdenauer is calling it a career. Here, Tim Hardaway and Travis Schlenk showed their appreciation in a dedication video.
Tom Abdenauer, my man, what's happening with you? Golden State Warrior days, you took care of me, you made sure we all was healthy, you made sure we were responsible, respected the facilities, and man, you taught me a lot. I think you taught all of us a lot. Again, congratulations to you and your lovely wife and your lovely kids. And go off to the sunset and have fun, my man. You enjoy it and you deserve it, man, because you did great work. I appreciate you. Come to Crossover King.
Tommy, congratulations on your retirement. It was a privilege to work with you here at the Golden State Warriors. You dedicated over 24 years of your life to this organization, and we can't thank you enough for all that you've done. Best of luck to you and your family. Congratulations again. Happy retirement.
As the season was winding down and each and every game became more and more magnified as 73 wins was in the Warriors' sights, Steve Kerr's group hit a speed bump in the form of the up-and-coming Minnesota Timberwolves.
You know, as I said the other night, it's sort of surprising that it hasn't happened until now. You know, we've gone a whole season without really hitting a skid. We just, you know, we've lost some games, but we've always bounced back well. And usually over 82 games, you get a stretch here or there. Even if you're a great team, you struggle a little bit. And just watching the tape the other night, I thought the main problems were trying to be a little showy. We're trying to make some spectacular things happen on offense. And then on defense, we were being lazy. And it's not, you know, it's like Dean Wormer said, you know, in Analyst.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
You know. We were kind of fat, drunk, and stupid the other night.
It didn't take long, however, for the Dubs to make up for that disappointing loss and exercise a few demons in the process.
Danny Green pulls up, launches a three, blocked by Iguodala. Curry's got it. There's your ball game, and the Golden State Warriors will become the second team in NBA history to get the 72 wins. Final score, Warriors 92 and the Spurs 86. The Golden State Warriors are 72-9. And they've got a chance to have the best regular season record in NBA history if they can win Wednesday night at home against the Memphis Grizzlies.
To be honest, until you just mentioned it, I hadn't thought of that. And what was the streak?
33.
Yeah. If you remember the late, great Vitas Gerulaitis, with apologies to him, I'll use his line. Nobody, and I mean nobody, beats the Golden State Warriors 34 straight times on their home floor. Nobody. You got that, Monty?
I got that.
All right.
Hear the crew at ABC ESPN of Sage Steele, Jalen Rose, and Doug Collins showcase just how special this Golden State group is.
It always comes back to who? The Golden State Warriors. Doug, what stands out to you the most about this team?
They have no weakness. I mean, I was thinking today, if I were Steve Kerr, what would I want to be different going into today's game? The answer is nothing.
Nothing.
I got the best team. We're healthy. I got the best player. We play unlike anybody here. We shoot the ball better. We have a great defense. We have a great home court. And we're rejuvenated after winning 73. What else do I want? I mean, I think they're in a great spot.
No weaknesses.
I don't
see
it.
When's the last time you said that?
Do you see any weaknesses?
I don't see any weaknesses.
They get careless sometimes and throw the ball around a little bit. But other than that, where are you going to attack them?
We need to recognize game and the ascension of Steph Curry and what's happened over the last couple of seasons. They won the championship last year, 73 wins this year. He's going to be back-to-back MVP.
Yeah.
The first going to be unanimous.
I was going to say unanimous.
Somebody else is going to vote for probably Kawhi or Russell Westbrook.
But you it think won't it should be unanimous. You think it should be, though?
I think it should be.
Okay.
Or how about this? Leading the league in scoring, leading the league in assists. Okay, not just a gunner. With volume, 50 from the floor, 45 from three, 90 from the line. So impressive what this guy is doing. If they can win a championship again this year, it's going to continue to vault him into all-time great conversation.
Can he get that much better?
Absolutely. You saw it, plus 6 points from last year to this year. That's the most by an MVP. It shattered the three-point record. There's so many things that's happening right now.
Lastly, this humorous observation from Tom Tolbert during an interview with Luke Walton on KNBR in San Francisco on Tommy's former teammates' bench mannerisms.
I watch you guys on the bench occasionally after certain plays. Steve crossing his legs is the new Red Auerbach victory cigar. Like, when he crosses his legs, he feels comfortable enough, like, game's over. Like, I'm like, oh, I look down, I go, oh, Steve's got his legs crossed. He must feel like the game's in hand right now. So just let him know. Like, when I see that, I'm like, all right, I can just kind of check out now because Steve's already told me the game is over.
That'll do it for the latest roundup. Lawrence?
At Warriors headquarters, the day before the regular season finale, where 73-9 was secured, several members of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim dropped by to see the Warriors at practice. With the Angels in the Bay Area to face the Oakland A's, Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, Cliff Pennington, a former Oakland A's infielder, and Joe Smith, the baseball pitcher, met with the Warriors and shot around on the practice court as we got a moment with Mike Trout, the 2014 American League MVP, who played high school basketball in New Jersey before being drafted in the first round by the Angels.
From one MVP to another, what's so great about watching Stephen Curry in action, even just in practice?
He don't miss. He's fun to watch. Obviously, he's one of the best in the game, if not the best. But it's just, you know, just cool to come out here, you know, when they're trying to, you know, break a record tomorrow. And it's just pretty cool to be in town.
When you think of the dedication that it takes to be at the top of your game, your discipline at the plate and the way that you've worked all throughout your career to be one of the best hitters in baseball, how similar is it to what you see Curry doing from beyond the arc?
Yeah, no, it's just practice. You know, he's coming in here shooting and he's obviously working on a shot each and every day, just like my swing. And it's just practice makes perfect.
Growing up in New Jersey, what was your NBA team?
I was a Sixers fan.
And that era of Sixers, Andre Iguodala on the team?
Iguodala was there, yeah. It was growing up was Iverson and obviously Iguodala. It's pretty cool seeing him out here, too.
So now that you're in L.A., when you're watching basketball, what are you watching and who are you watching for?
I'm a Sixers fan still, but, you know, obviously when the Warriors are on, you got to watch Steph Curry and just the guys in the league that are, you know, the elite players. It's going to be, you know, it's fun to watch NBA now.
So, thanks, Mike. So we're making good use of this plane flight and putting together the plays of the year, moments of the year, a season in review. What were some of your favorite moments as you listened back, RC?
We got to start with ring night, the night they raised the banner. That was fantastic. And then All-Star Weekend, watching Draymond really soak it in and appreciate it. And of course, the chase for 73. We cover it from point to point.
We would not have been able to do what we did last year without you guys' support every single night. 39-2 at home, 67 wins in the regular season, and to cap it off with that trophy right there is a huge accomplishment, so thank you. We want to recognize David Lee, Onyen Kuzmic, and Justin Holiday, who aren't here, who helped us get to this moment. And finally, we always talked about it. That was a lonely banner up there. Joe, Peter, you talked about it 5 years ago. So without further ado, I want my teammates, coaching staff to join me. Gather around. Peter, Joe, come on over. And we're going to unveil that championship banner like we're supposed to.
Curry now with 7 on the clock. Takes a one dribble, deep three. Got it! He hit it from downtown! Curry rips the ball away from Noah. He's stolen. Lob. Iguodala slammed it down inside. What a play by the MVP. Just ripped it out of Joakim Noah's hands in the backcourt. Threw it to the rim and Iguodala slammed it down. Sensational. Ellington Page. Lob. Joe Johnson. Lopez catches. He missed it. He had a chance to shoot it. We're about 3 feet away. It was well designed. He jumped up and missed the bunny shot. And we've got 5 more minutes. That's going to be a Brook Lopez nightmare for the rest of his life. Not the great Celtic teams or the great Laker teams or even the Michael Jordan Bulls or the Tim Duncan Spurs. None of them have ever started a season 16-0. Nobody has started a season 16-0 except the Golden State Warriors. As the horn sounds and the final score 111-77 as they knock off the Los Angeles Lakers and have started the season 16-0, an all-time NBA mark.
Luke Walton's out there trying to execute the game plan, and he looks comfortable. He feels like, you know, he's ready to take over as long as Coach Kerr is out. Hopefully it's not too long, but he's doing a great job so far.
I know what you're going to ask already. I'm not going to be coaching yet tomorrow night or Christmas Day. I've got to continue to build on the last week and build my strength and resilience. And all I can say is I'm hoping to be back soon.
6 seconds to go. Ian Clark up the floor. Ian Clark dribbles in, comes all the way, passes the corner. Draymond's open. He'll fire. Got it at the buzzer. Draymond with a three. Ian Clark with the assist. And the Warriors will start the fourth quarter down by six. Curry with a rebound. 23 seconds to go in the quarter. He'll leave it for Draymond Green. Draymond dribbles in. Throws to Azili, who's wide open for a dunk. Draymond Green gets his triple-double with that pass. 16 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. And the Warriors lead by 40. Draymond hits the free throw. There's his triple-double. Fifth of the season, sixth of his career. And the Golden State Warriors continue to redefine a level of excellence. And the horn sounds, and the streak is over. It ends on a Saturday night in Milwaukee. On a foggy, dreary evening, the Golden State Warriors come to Milwaukee and run out of gas. And the best start in NBA history at 24-0 goes to 24-1 here.
We had a message for the guys. Draymond stepped up and said a few words after that, and you know they should be thinking about how great this experience was and how much fun they had doing it.
Draymond with four, with three. Dribble drive on Scott, lob to space, bats the ball to Barbosa. Baseline jumper, good if it goes. Got it! At the buzzer! Barbosa with great focus on the baseline, knocked it down. It wasn't pretty, but it ends up being 2 points for Barbosa. The Warriors take a 5-point lead to the fourth quarter. Curry now with 4 seconds, with three, pass to Draymond, to the corner to Barnes, jumper on the way, got it! Barnes with .2, that's your ball game. Curry steals it from Wall in the backcourt, Dudley drops it to Curry, by the hash mark, got it! That was just sick, just sick. My goodness.
Steph's a pretty good shooter. For those of you who watched the game against the Wizards last night, he was, to use slang, he was clowning.
The Golden State Warriors will send three of their stars to Toronto as Clark dribbles it out. And the Warriors will hit the All-Star break with the best record in NBA history through 52 games. The Golden State Warriors are 48-4 as they knock off the Phoenix Suns 112-104.
You know, my mom means so much to me, and she's done so much for me in my life, you know, and molding the person that I am, which is a huge part of the basketball player that I am. For her to reveal that news to me, like, I could have never imagined being an All-Star. It's always been a dream, but to actually be that and to find out from my mom, it's incredible.
The break always seems like it comes at a good time. You know, just getting a chance just to refresh, hit the restart button, you know, let guys just get away from the game, hopefully heal up and come back refreshed.
It's hard to put this season into perspective just because it's going by so fast and these wins are coming in so much. And we don't take it for granted, though. You know, we went 23-43 my first year in the league, and it was a struggle. So to get here, to make it here with two of my teammates, I mean, it's been a long time coming for Warrior fans and our organization.
You know, just really seeing how it all works. Obviously, it being my first one, you know, a lifelong dream, you know, and to finally be here is, you know, obviously a dream come true, and just really excited to continue the weekend.
The fact I got to go get up against Steph in the finals again. It was like deja vu last year. Not going to lie, I got real nervous when he hit his first date. I didn't think he was going to miss. But it's just exciting since coming back to Oakland, you know. And back-to-back years for Splash Brothers, it's pretty cool.
Curry with a catch up top. 4 seconds, 3 seconds, dribbles out where it just takes a contested three. It's out of the way. It's no good. It's caught and laid in by Barbosa at the buzzer. It was an air ball to the left. Barbosa read it perfectly and laid it in at the buzzer. Nice job by Leandro Barbosa. At Golden State will start the fourth quarter, but they're down 11. There's 5 seconds to go. Curry with four. Curry with three. Takes a three for the win. He got it! 0.6 to go. Still time. Curry casually just crossed half court, and he knocked down his 12th three of the night. It's a new franchise record. Warriors 121, Oklahoma City 118.
Well, he reminds me a lot of the great players who I've played with or been around, whether it's Tim Duncan or Michael or Larry Bird. Those guys are never satisfied. The reason they're great is not just their talent, but their work ethic and their desire to be better. And that's how Steph is. He wants to get better and better all the time. And so he's worked at it, and he's made big improvements, which is remarkable when you're talking about the MVP of the league.
Thompson steps back. Harden reaches in. Hand off to Bogut. He takes a three. It's up and good. Bogut hit a three from the right wing. Do you believe in omens? It's his first basket of the night. Down the final 10 seconds. Everybody waving their white towels here in Minneapolis. Curry with a screen by Draymond. Gets a switch. Guarded by Towns. 3 seconds. Left sideline. Curry pulls up at the hash mark. It's up and around and out. Tipped up and in by Draymond. Draymond tipped it in at the buzzer. And Golden State will go to the locker room, leading by a count of 61-58. Here comes Nene. Pass stolen by Curry. Curry's got the breakaway. This time goes up and jams it down with the right hand. He was not going to leave anything to chance there. Curry's got 10. And the Warriors lead 27-19.
You know, if they want to go for it, then it's their record. They have to tell me if they're banged up. And if they're not banged up, I'm going to let them play. I'm not going to rest them. I'm not going to tell them they have to rest. So it's up to them. So they're feeling good, but I also trust them that if they are banged up and they're going to compromise our health heading into the playoffs, I'm confident they will share that with me. I'll trust them on that.
Curry comes down the near sideline, drifting middle behind the back, left-hand dribble, steps out for a three. It's off the rim, no good. Oh. Jam home! Harrison Barnes, the Black Falcon on the doorstep. And a timeout for the Wolves. Just like that, Curry with a beautiful move to get up, to get the shot off. And when it missed, Barnes was right there to finish it. Danny Green pulls up, launches a three, blocked by Iguodala. Curry's got it. There's your ball game, and the Golden State Warriors will become the second team in NBA history to get the 72 wins. Final score, Warriors 92 and the Spurs 86. The Golden State Warriors are 72-9, and they've got a chance to have the best regular season record in NBA history if they can win Wednesday night at home against the Memphis Grizzlies. Curry with 399 threes right now. Draymond Green with the ball. Finds Bogut. Bogut to circle. Right side Curry for 400. Got it! There it is! 400 threes in a season for Steph Curry! On a night that could be historic, Curry adds his own historic flair. And listen to the crowd. The Golden State Warriors say they use strength in numbers, and tonight, the number is 73 as the Golden State Warriors have beaten the Memphis Grizzlies 125-104 and set an NBA record for 73 wins in a campaign, breaking the mark set by the 95-96 Chicago Bulls. In a season of history for the Golden State Warriors, yet another mark will fall.
You know, raise the bar of expectation for ourselves. That's really all it's about, is the expectation we put on ourselves in that locker room. We don't need any extra motivation, but we seem to be getting it a lot.
Hey, on behalf of this entire organization, you know, these 14 other guys, along with myself, 15, coaching staff, everybody in our organization, we want to thank y'all, you know, because at the end of the day, the support, the support night in and night out that y'all bring to this arena is incredible. You know, to win 39 games at home is incredible. And it's impossible to achieve this without winning all those home games. So I want to thank God, most importantly, but thank y'all fans for everything that y'all do for us. Now let's go get this championship.
All right, thank you for joining us. That is all for this time. I'm Lawrence Scott. Looking forward to the next time that we get together here on Warriors Ground.